The one and only Mike Conti joining us this morning. Morning to you, Mike.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Well, nothing much, Mike Conti. How tired are you after you call a game like that?
I'm usually pretty good after a game like that because I've got a lot of energy and I'm excited about what we saw and, you know, optimistic about what's to come. I'm usually a lot more exhausted after a loss because I'm kind of emotionally drained, you know, being all saddened in my feelings after one of those. So felt good after Saturday. It was a really great day at the Benz for everyone, no doubt about it.
There's no question about that. You're talking about being emotional. Joseph Martinez scored 22 goals in 22 games. Is it safe to say right now that he's going to get the Golden Boot? He's the leading candidate for the Golden Boot.
I mean, it would take an injury or something really crazy for him to not get it because he's 10 goals ahead of everyone else, and there's only about a third of the season to play. I think the question now is he going to go over 30 goals, which has never been done in MLS? 27 is the record. You know, if he keeps this goal-per-game pace, he's going to end with 34 goals on the season, which is seven more than anyone else in the history of MLS. So it's not just breaking the record, it's shattering it. And I have a column going up today, Hugh, at 929thegame.com. And I think we're seeing something here that we've never seen here in Atlanta, at least in my memory. And John, chime in on this, where in professional sports, you've got the best team with the best player. Mm-hmm. And, I've done a lot of research on this. You know, Dominique Wilkins won a scoring title in 1986. But with respect to Dominique, you know, that was in the era of Bird and Magic and Jordan starting to bubble up. And the Hawks were not the best team in 1986. You know, Matt Bryant won a league scoring title 2 years ago. Matt Ryan was the MVP, but the Falcons, didn't win the Super Bowl that year. Maybe if 17 minutes in Houston had gone the other way, we'd be having a different discussion. Even on the Braves teams in the early 90s and mid-90s when they finally won the World Championship, I mean, they were the best team, but I don't know if they necessarily had the best individual player. So what we're seeing here, the only thing I could remotely compare it to would be Herschel Walker in 1980. Where Georgia had the best team and clearly the best player, the Heisman Trophy winner. So this is something very, very special that Atlanta United and Joseph Martinez are accomplishing right now, and we really need to savor it.
You know, with that being said, we were talking about this morning as well, Mike Conti. Does Joseph Martinez get the love nationally that you think he deserves for the type of player that he is?
Well, if he doesn't, he needs to start because, you know, strikers are an interesting lot in soccer, and I think a lot of times strikers don't get a lot of consideration for league MVP because it's perceived as though they're basically just converting balls that are served up to them, and I guess part of that's true. But when you're on a goal-per-game pace and you're scoring in the variety of manners in which you score, I mean, think about this, guys. He has nine headed-in goals this year, including two on Saturday. Joseph Martinez is 5 feet 7 inches tall, and he's winning aerials against goalkeepers and aerials on set pieces now. And then at the same time, you're seeing him get more involved in the midfield and creating scoring opportunities and combining with Ulmer. In fact, the first goal where he won the aerial against Osted, it was a back heel by Martinez to Ulmer on a Villalba that kind of sprung Joseph up front, and he won the aerial and scored. So. Yeah, I think Joseph, if he's not getting that credit, you and I don't know if that's the case, but if he's not getting that credit, it needs to start because if you really pay attention to what he's doing more than just what an ordinary striker does.
Joined by Mike Conti on Sports Radio 92 on the game. The next game for the Five Stripes Saturday at Montreal against the Montreal Impact. Two quick things, Mike. To answer your point, I think the only time, because you mentioned about best player, best team. In 95, when the Braves won the World Series, Greg Maddux had a year that was insane. It was 19-2 with an ERA of like 1.6. So, maybe that's the only other time I could think of. That's the one I would say. The second thing is I want to go back to United. I was thoroughly impressed with Andrew Carleton.
Yes. Yeah, it did a great job. And honestly, I think probably earned himself another start Saturday in Montreal. It sounds like Barco is not going to play on Saturday. The thing that really stood out to me about Carleton, John, was, first of all, I mean, narrowly denied an assist on the second goal of the game. The ball took just the slightest of deflections off a DC United defender, but the idea was perfect to just kind of pitch it right to the back post and let Joseph knock it in. You know, very hard luck that he did not get an assist there. So, you know, his passing was very good. On, you know, defensively, though, that really stood out to me. Oppie even credited him with winning a tackle, drawing a couple fouls. I thought he did a really, really good job on O'Neal Fisher, who's, you know, kind of a strong, athletic winger for DC United. I thought Andrew did a really good job staying in front of him, not allowing him to get crosses or service or anything like that. Did a really, really good job. Very, very happy for Andrew. He's a great kid. He's a great kid, and he's had to spend a lot of time with APL UTD 2 this year just to get game minutes because the first team roster is so loaded and crowded right now. But he's never complained about any of that. He's embraced his role with APL UTD 2. He's embraced his role with the first team. And I get the feeling, guys, that we might look back on what we saw Saturday and we'll say, you know what, we were there when? We were there when he made his first MLS start. And that was the launching point of what turns out to be a very, very good professional and national team career.
Mike Honey joining us on the WayForward.com hotline. Barco out, you know, we're hearing rumblings without getting into details, at least I am, Mike, from, you know, people that I know around the team that that it's not any big deal. I mean, he's going to be out for the Montreal game, too. It was he did a silly little kid thing, but it's not anything that's going to be long-term, and he should be back with the club. But in his stead, you had to get a chance to see Remedy make his first appearance.
Yeah, I mean, Remedy, I don't think that had anything to do with Barco being out, but I think Remedy is really going to help this team a lot. If for nothing more now, he'll buy the team an opportunity to maybe rest Julian Gressel or move him up a little bit more in the attack, and then, you know, you kind of deal with the Barco absence that way. I think he could even slide back and maybe buy a game off for Jeff Lorenowitz, who's been playing a lot. He's really going to be able to help this club a lot. And I was very encouraged that it looked like, you know, having only trained with the team for 4 days, having only gotten into the States, I think, a week ago Friday, or 2 weeks ago Friday now, he looked incredibly fit, and I didn't really see any lack of chemistry there. So, you know, the process of getting him integrated into the lineup and integrated into the system obviously went, I think, a lot faster than anyone expected. He's really going to help them. He'll give them a physical presence. I like the fact he drew two fouls in very limited time on Saturday. That's something that he's really going to be expected to do a lot. Just very encouraging with the small sample size that we saw on Saturday.
Mike Conte, what have you seen from Atlanta United that gives them the ability to bounce back when they have, like, not-so-favorable games?
Wow, great question, Hugh. I mean, the numbers speak for themselves. They're 8-0-1 now in games following a loss or a draw, which is incredible. And I like the fact now, I mean, three of their last four home games, Hugh, they've given up the first goal, and they've come back to at least tie, if not take the lead. And I want to say in four of their last five games overall, or maybe four of their last six, they've conceded the first goal. They've come back to at least tie or take the lead. Very good signs. What do I see in them that makes them do that? I don't know, other than I think there's just this kind of intangible resiliency that this club has. It goes back to, I think, what you can generally say, Hugh, about any championship team. You know, when your superstar players are playing at an all-star level and your role players are having career years, you have the ingredients for something very special. And I look at Atlanta United, their superstars are playing at that all-star level. I think Joseph's the best player in the league right now. Almiron could be an MVP candidate. You know, certainly Gressel and Nagby before he got hurt, Guzan, Parkhurst, everyone's doing their job. And then your role players, I mean, I don't want to call Andrew Carlton a role player, but, I mean, he's a guy kind of making a spot start. It goes in there and gives you 65 great minutes. Kevin Kratz is someone, every time he gets on the pitch, even if it's just for a couple minutes, he gives you something. He does good work. So Atlanta United kind of has the right mixture right now to do something very special later on this year where everyone is in top form. And even with the injuries that they've endured, they've been able to kind of power their way through that. They're 4 points clear of everyone for the supporter shield. So they're in the midst of something pretty spectacular right now.
Hey, Mike, we appreciate it. Enjoy your trip to Canada, eh?
You're the man, Mike.
Oh, I can't wait. Can't wait for some poutine and crepes.
Poutine.
Mike Connie.